This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education, by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
So let's get right to it with somebody who is a Tesla owner and investor, well-known to our audience. We're talking about Ross Gerber.
Ross Gerber is president and CEO at Gerber Kawasaki Wealth and Investment Management. He joins us on the phone from Santa Monica, California. Ross, pick out one number in this earnings report and tell us why it's your favorite.
Earnings per share. They beat by a big number in a very, very, very tough environment while they're ramping two factories, and boy, they really killed it.
Okay, that number, $2.27, Ross, for the second quarter. Estimates were for $1.83, so blowing it out of the park when it came to that bottom line.
Yeah, and it's like so hard with supply chain and all the issues with China, and here they come out with a huge margin on their vehicles with the ramp. I mean, it's just they executed amazingly well.
So how are they doing it when so many others seem to be struggling?
Well, there's a couple things that Tesla has as a huge advantage over other automakers. And it first started when Elon went out and cut supply deals with like lithium companies and battery cell companies. He already had the vision of like, we want 10-year contracts. We want guaranteed supply. Like, he went all in and did like huge deals with these suppliers early on before electric vehicles were even an issue. So he's kind of gets the priority because he makes the most cars and he committed the most early. And so he has the best position. Plus, they're completely vertically integrated. So they really have an advantage over other players in the EV space.
Why aren't we seeing shares jump more if the bottom line beat was so good, if automotive gross margin came in so much higher than expected? Shares in the after hours are only up 2.3%.
I don't really look at after-hours trading as any indication of too much, but we haven't had the conference call yet, and so that's usually where a lot is discussed that may change the trading in after-hours. You know, I think the most important thing is the valuation of Tesla is very high relative to the market, so they need to have good earnings to support their stock price and such. So either way, the stock's going to be up tomorrow, and I think that's great news.
What's the important valuation metric to watch? I mean, I'm just looking at basic PE is almost 88 right now, forward-looking PE of about 63. What is the important metric to look at when we're trying to value something like a Tesla, which most would argue is still a mega growth company?
Right. So we value all companies based off their PE to growth ratio. So that's really what's important is how fast is the company growing relative to its PE. And that's really where you can get stock price appreciation because you see this multiple will be forced in a way lower as E goes up if P doesn't go up. So P usually goes up when E goes up. So the nice way to look at it is because Tesla is beating earnings and growing so fast, their growth rate is well over 100% of earnings, but their PE is less than 100. So relative to other stocks in the stock market, it is actually very cheap.
So what's the question that you would have for executives on the call today for Elon Musk? If you were able to ask a question, what would you ask him?
Well, most importantly, I really want to know what's happening in Berlin and Austin as far as the ramp, where they are with production, and what's going on with the 4680 cell ramp, because that seems to be sort of a little, you know, hiccup that they're dealing with right now. So I'm really concerned about technology also for full self-driving. And, you know, I've been using the software and it's getting better and better, but what's their time frame for a wide release, which I think...
How much better is it getting? Because, you know, there were some videos that made the rounds just a couple weeks ago with some really concerning... I think Galileo Russell posted it a few weeks ago. And he's a big Tesla bull. We've had him on our program before. And it showed it the vehicle turning right down the wrong way down a one-way street. I'm sure you saw that video, Ross. How much better is it getting? Because that's pretty bad.
You know, I think that I've seen, like, so many humans just today do stupid things like that. You know, it's really, like, hard to be a perfect car while you're...
You do live in L.A.
So that...
You know, I'm a Californian, so I can say that.
And then I chain my car in L.A., and it's super hard. You know, it's super hard to survive in L.A. So I think the expectation that a computer will have a flawless driving ability when it's not even... It's still a beta, and then you get on the road and you watch humans, like, kill each other on the road daily. We're setting two standards. You see what I'm saying? Mm. And so, full self-driving is never going to be perfect.
Well, that's what...
Somebody's going to get run over.
That's what I want to ask. Ross, is full self-driving crucial to the Tesla story, or can it just be a great EV car maker and that's enough?
Well, it's crucial to the story if you think about it, that making an EV isn't a challenge for Tesla anymore. So Tesla as a company, where would they evolve to if they were just an EV maker? Because eventually everybody's going to be making EVs and it'll become a commodity.
Well, there's the human robot. There's the human robot that I'm kind of obsessed with.
But that's all about AI, though. That's not really about, like, building a robot isn't hard. It's about making a smart robot that can do good stuff, you know? And so, so the future is the software. And I think you should look at it very much like Apple. You know, the Samsung phones are just as good as the Apple phones, or better. Okay, the Google phones are just as good or better. But we all use iPhones because of the software, and the way the software interacts with our life keeps us involved with Apple forever. And that's what Tesla is building with the software that the other companies don't have.
Right.
So when you're talking about an EV being a commodity in 10 years, it will be.
Got it.
But the software is where the value is.
All right, we got to run. Ross, always informative and fun to catch in with you. Ross Gerber over at Gerber Kawasaki Wealth joining us from Santa Monica. This is Bloomberg.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at BloombergLive.com/AI/radio.